drove through several borders to get to Poland. And I was pretty gung-ho, thinking I was James Bond's sidekick or something, and that I was going to be able to do anything, until we had to memorise some very difficult Polish, and then find the address, and every street looked unbelievable. I don't know how we found it, but the angels went with us, I'm sure. And we took literature, and I was so sobered to think that these people hung out and worshipped in secret because they were scared of what the officials would do. Today we have some people who have journeyed like this for over 16 years, 14 years with Voice of the Martyrs, and I'm going to ask Sandy and Graham, my good friends, to come up now and to share for such a time as this. Thank you, Sandy and Graham. I'll just pray for you when you come up. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these dear people who have sacrificed so much to go and tell your word in many, many lands where it's difficult, where our brothers and sisters are suffering for their faith. But Lord, you've got good news that no government can stop the word of God getting in. And so we bless Graham and Sandy now as they share and ask that you would multiply their ministry. We know it's been difficult, Lord. They haven't been able to go like they usually do with COVID, but Lord, you've given them opportunities in New Zealand to go and share. And so we thank you that we'll hear about this, and we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we also have a film coming up on Friday week that I'd love everyone to come to too.
Okay, well, Graham's getting ready. Hi, everyone. It's good. It's really lovely to see you all here. I'm just doing a little promo. Right. At the back of the church, we've got our newsletters that we put up out every 2 months now. We're saving money by doing it every 2 months. But please grab a newsletter. We've got a number of different versions there. So if you haven't got one, grab one now. The other thing that some people might be really interested in is this prayer guide. This has got information on 68 countries in the world where Christians are persecuted for their faith, you know, where they're not allowed to worship freely. And so there's information on each one of those countries in here with prayer points. So grab one of those if you like. And if you're feeling really up to it and you're good at writing, who here can write with a pen? Yeah. Okay, great. Because one of the things that is absolutely an incredible ministry to be involved in is to write an encouraging note to a Christian that's in prison for their faith. For them, there is nothing more encouraging than to get a note from a brother or sister overseas, for it to come to the prison or be sent to their families, who then can tell them about the note, or they get it themselves. Now, to make it really, really easy for you, we've made these postcards, right? Here's a postcard, and this postcard this time is for a man named Haile Nasgi. He is from Eritrea. He has been in prison for 17 years. 17 years. That's longer than we've done, right? 17 years. During the early hours of the morning on the 23rd of May 2004, he was arrested and taken to the police station in the capital of Eritrea, called Asmara. He was the leader of Eritrea's Full Gospel Church, which is comprised of up to 150 home groups. He's married. He has three children. He was previously an accountant with World Vision. And during his incarceration, he's been refused any personal contact with his family. He's been moved to various locations, but the actual charges against him have never been released. 17 years. After Haley's wife was warned that she might also be arrested, she and the children decided to flee the country. After an arduous journey, they reached another country close by where they've been safely living for the past several years. Voice of the Martyrs has been supporting them and visiting them regularly. And in a message from Haley that was smuggled out of Eritrea, he thanked us for our support. It was encouraging for him to know that his family was doing well, even though he remains in prison. Now, this is it, and all you've got, you can see, you've got to tear that off, okay? Because that's the story, that's the photo of him. This is the thing that you put on your fridge, and this is the one that you send, right? It's got the address on it. It's even got, we've got a little scripture, Psalm 37 in Tigrinya, in their language, right? And there's a little space for you to write your message and sign your name on it. And all you've got to do is put a stamp on it and post it and pray, okay? Pray that it gets there. And the photo there, I took the photo. And I'll let you have a little guess of where that is. But the most important thing is don't say anything negative about the government. Don't mention Voice of the Martyrs. Just write, you know, share a scripture and say some encouraging words. So there we are. Graham, you all ready?
Am I ready? Oh, sounds like it. Got the echo going. Whew. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's a huge delight for us to get the opportunity to share with our family at Papua New Baptist. It just gives us a swelling sense of being with family. And I was thinking, Lord, what is the purpose of our work here today? And of course, it's to be a voice for the persecuted church. But it's more than that. It's to be a voice for the gospel. This, before anything else, is about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll keep repeating that because that's the good news. It's really outstandingly good news. Some of our brothers and sisters in situations we'll look at this morning physically aren't in such a good place, but they are spiritually belonging to Jesus, enjoying the good news that comes with the freedom of Jesus Christ. And we know that because they tell us again and again and again. I count it a joy and a privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to show a short video mornings, and I'll just talk to you about it. We've been journeying, travelling with, belonging to, work in Laos for many, many years. And we'll show up this video of the young couple. They've been young now for the last 10 years, by the way. This young couple, we always call them the young couple. They've been working with their people. At the heart of everything they do is also the gospel. But they know no bounds to their energy of bringing the good news of Jesus to the family in Laos. Have we got it there, guys? There we go. So there's no sound, just background sound. Handing out relief and supplies after a massive flood went through this area here. We were talking about floods before. Handing out clothing. The girl on the one there, just looking at the camera now, that's Noi. She's the one that many of you have been praying for a long time. And she's telling them all about Jesus. The amazing thing about Noi is that every person we've spoken to who's following Jesus because of her testimony and because she's courageously shared the gospel all over the show, every single person goes back to talking about her great love. They've never experienced love like they've experienced it through Noi, regardless of the situations they find themselves in. This is a water dispensing cooler that we've put out among folks. Here's a well and watering the crops. He's pretty excited about what's going on. Here's a group of our young people in the discipleship house. We've got three or four safe houses working. And it doesn't matter really where they come from. They encounter Jesus really quickly. That's per people again. This ministry among the young people in Laos has gone on for many years. It's had its ups and downs. Sandy and I were praying with them one day. The Holy Spirit just impressed upon us to encourage them to stand strong when the persecutions came. And I don't know, it was a prophetic word because two or three weeks later the persecutions came. They were rounded up and put in prison, all the leadership. And there was, the Laotian prison system is brutal, but it's not like you'd imagine of the Nazis or the Gestapo and that kind of thing. People think about that situation where people are tortured and so on. It's just brutal. We've worked with pastors who've spent weeks in prisons with their hands and their feet and stocks and chains running between their hands and the feet. Nowhere to eat, nowhere to urinate, nowhere to... It's just all in one great big concrete block building. And yet when we meet with these brothers and sisters who've often just come out of those situations, they have a deep-seated joy that could only come to them through the work of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. So look, I'll just bring you up to date with what's going on. Is this the right clicker? Hang on, I'll find out by clicking it, I guess.
highly technical, you know. Here we go. Oh, there you go. Here we go. All right. Hey, look, the persecution of Christians in the world today is getting worse and worse and worse. Daily it's getting worse. It's getting so bad that there are a number of people calling for their governments to do something about the persecution in the nations that we're serving, all right, to a point where the Times of London put together this slide and they called it Spectators at the Carnage. And I thought that's a telling statement. That perhaps we are in that situation ourselves, that we are spectators at the carnage. And this goes back centuries, doesn't it? Remember Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you? This is what hatred looks like. Being a spectator at the carnage is something the Lord's called us not to do, but to be engaged with the church, to be engaged in a place that says, we love you, we're here to support you, we're here to encourage you. And let's just see if I can click this on to the next one. There we go. So the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs, as you know, started with Richard Wurmbrand, this most courageous of men who was nominated to be Person of the Century in Romania. He spent 14 years in prison, 3 years in an underground cell. He was tortured for Christ. We've got a video out, a movie called Tortured for Christ that chronicles his life. We encourage you to go to see it. It looks like that, and it's being shown here on the 13th of August. Has I got the time up there? Look, we've shown this video all over New Zealand. It's a high-quality Hollywood sort of quality production. It's shot in Romania. It's even using the same cell that Richard Wurmbrand was in prison in. And towards the end of this movie, and it's a brutal movie, and I'll tell you why the clue is in the title. The title, Tortured for Christ, comes from the name of the book that he wrote. The reason he wrote the book was that after he's released from prison, two times actually, he was surprised to find that although his little church, his local church, knew about him and the other pastors that were imprisoned and the thousands that the Russians had imprisoned in their camps, he was surprised to find that outside that group, the free world was ignorant and silent on what was happening to the brothers and sisters. So in order to do something about it, he wrote this small book, Tortured for Christ, written in blood, written in tears, written in heartache, so that the Western world would know something about our brothers and sisters. And that's the ministry that we belong to. I've often said to Sandy, there's not much we can do about our work when we work for a ministry called Tortured for Christ, except for this. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is sustaining and upholding everybody. So please make it your priority to get to this movie on the 13th of August, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It has got an R rating. Yeah. Has it got an M rating, said Sandy. Sandy always says M's not good for little kids. Sandy says M means M for mum, right? So if you're worried about the M rating, it's for mum. Okay, what does the Bible say on persecution? 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I often think that's more of a guarantee and a consequence than a promise. You know, I like to claim the promises of God over our life and confess them. That's true. This is one I don't want to confess. But it is a fact that if you desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. There is no doubt that even as they used to say the drums of war are beating, all right, I've got to say that the persecution is coming to this land. And the signs of it are everywhere. John said, Jesus said, the world hates you. Know that it has hated me before it hated you. But I say to you, love your enemies. Now we say that quite, I don't never say it glibly, but if you've been in a situation where somebody's actively hating you, that's a powerful, powerful, powerful form of disagreement with yourself. You couldn't get more disagreeable than have someone who hates you. Jesus said, remember the world hated me. They hated him so much they put him on the cross. We know that was for us. That's the good news part of it. But we shouldn't be surprised if for the sake of the gospel, the world starts to hate the church. We're seeing signs of it in so many different places that we used to call free. So our concern is that the church starts to prepare itself for persecution. One of the interesting things at the moment is the Olympic rings over our map. Now, many of you will be familiar with the map. There's a map out in the foyer that's basically the same colours. What we're saying is those coloured in parts are where the gospel is restricted or hostile. That nations or family groups or local government groups have stood up against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that remains to be seen how fast that will spread, but I can tell you that in China And in India, we've seen more persecution, more restrictions on the gospel than we have for decades. Now, those two nations alone account for half the world's population. All right? So stuck down here in New Zealand with our 4 or 5 million people sounds okay, but it will come. The persecution will come. Those that are actually competing at the Olympics, many of them will come from nations that restrict the gospel. Many of them will come from nations like North Korea, is the obvious one, China, of course, where the gospel is restricted and they themselves are competing under a cloud. Now, if they come out and stand against the gospel, what's going to happen? Well, they could be restricted from representing their nation. They could be stripped of their rights as family members. They could end up outside the normal outside the normal areas of socialization. Just remember when the Olympics are playing, how many people are caught up in this whole situation of hatred against Jesus Christ. The key, dear brothers and sisters, is that that hatred is directed towards the Lord Jesus, not to us personally. So persecution is the largest scale of human rights tragedy in the world today. More than 60 nations persecute Christians. More than 60. The greatest persecutor of Christians is China, surely by number. The worst persecutor of Christians is North Korea, that's by brutality. Iran currently holds 49 Christians in their jail. That changes all the time. It could be up to 60 at the moment. Radical Islam jihadists target Christian communities and wipe them out completely. For example, there were 12 million Christians in Iraq before the war. There are now less than 100,000. The Bishop of Truro was commissioned to write a report on persecution to give some idea to the British government exactly how wide and what range the scope was. Across the globe, in the Middle East, Asia and Africa, Christians are being bullied, arrested, jailed, expelled, and executed. Christianity is by far, and by most calculations, the most persecuted religion of modern times. Yet Western participants until now, and politicians, have been reluctant to speak out in support of the Christian genocide. People used to say that we overstated the fact. Richard Wurmbrand came out and he was surprised because he wrote brutal letters, very brutally honest letters about what was happening in the Russian system, in the communist system. And people would say, no, you're overstating it. You're just trying to raise up people's emotions to try and build your ministry. He said, actually, I've got to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, the brutality is worse than we can imagine. We started to get a hint of it when the Romanian government fell. And remember the problems they discovered with Romanian orphans? A government that would chain children to their beds, that would beat and electrocute them, torture them even. And this government, imagine how much brutality they'd put on somebody who was their enemy, they saw as their enemy. So the Bishop of Truro unfortunately came up with this statement. And that's what I've got to bring to you, dear brothers and sisters. It's burdening us that there is a brutality and a move against the church and the nations of the world that we've not seen for some time. For example, in China, they're now calling the Chinese situation the new cultural revolution. 10,000 churches in the Henan province have been banned. Two-thirds of all government-sanctioned churches have now been totally shut down. House churches have been dismantled and burned. The picture I've got up there is of a family funeral service. This used to be left alone where people were allowed to mourn in some sense of dignity without the state breaking up the funerals. But now the state is breaking up the funerals. In this particular situation, all the family members and the minister and the mourners were taken away and imprisoned because they were acting in an un-Chinese way. Our friend Bob Fu, who heads China Aid, is probably the preeminent voice about the state of the religious and Christian situation in China, has said there's not been persecution like this in China since the start of the Cultural Revolution under Mao Zedong. And we're seeing now, month by month, that it's worsening. I thought I'd put this up here because we talk about these situations as though they're happening now. There's actually a history in China particularly, many nations. There's a history of people who stood up courageously for the gospel. And this is a picture of Samuel Lam. So who's heard of Samuel Lam, by the way? God bless you for that. Samuel Lam is a genuine hero of the faith. He was called home to be with the Lord in August 2013. And before he was called home, he met this young couple from New Zealand. And what he's doing, he's genuinely doing this. He's saying, I've got to tell you, Graham and Sandy, persecution is good for the church. The first time they took me away, my church numbered 2,000. When I came back, there were 4,000 members. They took me away a second time, there were 4,000 members. When I came back, there were 8,000 members. Each time they take me to prison, my church has grown. Persecution is good for the church. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's holding up his fingers and telling us. Then he held up his hand. He said, look, I've got all my fingers, by the way. And some of you may know this. The amazing thing about Samuel Lamb is that when he was in prison, they gave him work to do because most prisoners work, right? Doesn't matter whether it's secular or religious. Most prisoners work. Samuel Lamb was put to work in the shunting yards of a big railway system. And he was holding up his fingers and saying, look, I've still got all my fingers. And that's a blessing because he was a concert pianist. The reason he's got all his fingers is that, like most of us who know people who work on the shunting yards, right, they end up losing parts of their fingers because those big railway lines, they come together like this, and you've got to get the hook down and get your hand out of the way really quickly. Samuel Lamb said, it happened to me many times, but the Lord preserved my fingers. Either the angels pushed them away or he left me keep playing. He was talking about the good news of the gospel right there in the midst of his situation. Persecution is good for the church. This was over, how long ago was this, Andy? 12 years ago? Probably longer. But today persecution continues. It's a cross is being forcibly removed from Chinese Christian churches. Many of you will know that. Just to point out that those crosses are on churches that were sanctioned by the government. These are the publicly approved church buildings that have been destroyed. It's the government's going out of its way to ensure the cross, the visible sign of Christianity, is removed from Chinese culture completely. How are we going for time, Eddie? Good. So I'd like to take you to Nigeria. Sandy and I have been to Nigeria. It's a place that breaks your heart because of the brutality that's being visited upon our brothers and sisters. Do you know, and I've just got to say this for those who may not have heard about it or thought about it, the most dangerous place to be in northern Nigeria on a Sunday is church, without a doubt. Why is that? It's because the brutality of the Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen, who are mixed with radical Islam, bring their hatred to bear upon the Christian communities in the northeastern parts of Nigeria. That's the Boko Haram. You remember they abducted those girls? And only some have been returned. Many won't ever be returned or reunited with their families. Many have now openly confessing through fear, probably, Islam. But also many have become mothers to children of the fighters that they've been with, and they don't want to leave their children. It's a heartbreak situation for them. Nigeria, more Christians were killed for their faith in Nigeria last year than any other country. 3,500. 3,000 were abducted. 300 churches were destroyed. There's an unholy alliance between the Boko Haram and the radical Fulani herdsmen. This West African nation also led the world in the total number of kidnapped Christians. Pray for Nigeria. Pray for northern Nigeria. There's another young guy. I put this up here as a reminder. Some of you have seen this photo. He's an evangelist, this young man, and he's putting his hand on my knee and he's telling me, I need to know that I have got the backing of the church, but what I do know is that Voice of the Martyrs will stand by my family when I give my life to the Lord. He's effectively saying, I'm an evangelist, I go from village to village, I share the gospel, and at the right time the Lord will take me home. Not before, not after, but just at the right time. And when he does that, I know that you will be there caring for me. I thought, what an admonition to put on the church and upon us. But that is exactly the heart of Richard Wurmbrand from his years and years in prison, where the Lord has taught us to love, to forgive. That's Sandy put her up there to remind us of Nigeria. Anybody remember this lady's name? So I've mentioned her here a few times. Her name is Comfort Monday. All right. Unfortunately, her husband had been shot just a few weeks earlier, 2 weeks beforehand. Sandy's holding up the one week. She was numb, the poor woman. Her husband and his friends had been in a church at a prayer meeting when the Boko Haram attacked the church and emptied their guns through the window, killed them, slaughtered them. And she's sitting there bereft, just totally bereft. All we could do is lay hands and lay a comforting hand on her shoulder and pray for her. But I believe the Lord allowed me to keep that photo to show the connection between Voice of the Martyrs and those that we serve. And for us always to remember someone like Comfort Monday who has lost her dearly loved ones in the brutality of the attack on the Christian church. It is no small thing what's happening in Nigeria. It's increasingly violently. I'd just like to bring this latest part of news. Pastor Leviticus, great name, Pastor Leviticus, along with his toddler son, Godsend. Both have been tragically shot and killed. Pastor Leviticus was an active member of his church, but he was also an active evangelist, and he'd go from village to village sharing the good news of Jesus. Eventually, in due course, the Boko Haram caught up with him and shot him, killed him. We're looking after his wife, trying to keep aid and help to her and encouraging her. But this is another situation that our brothers and sisters find themselves in northern Nigeria. Please remember them. Please remember the family of Pastor Leviticus and his young son. I don't think I'd be inspired to call my son Godsend, but it certainly speaks of the gift of the Lord to us, isn't it? You remember this mark? This mark is the Arabic word nun for N. Anyone speak Arabic here? There's at least two, I knew that. And this is to remember our brothers and sisters who got caught up in the carnage, right, in Mosul, in northern Iraq. It's just a reminder that in the Middle East, in very many parts of our countries, aligned with radical Islam, there is still a fight against the gospel. Many, many people have kept this mark. Now, one of our young friends actually tattooed it on his arm. I'm not recommending this, by the way. But that's so he could remember what's happening. So, just finishing with spectators at the carnage. This we know. Once, when Sandy and I started working full-time for Voice of the Martyrs, the most difficult job we had was to convince people that persecution still continued. In fact, we had a T-shirt out that used to say, "It didn't end at the Colosseum, Christians still die." Do you remember that T-shirt, folks? It didn't end at the Colosseum, Christians still die. Unfortunately, that news is still true. And it will continue that way because of the battle that we're in, right? The news that I bring to you is hard and it's difficult. It's difficult for me to share with you. But I'm asking the church here not to just be spectators at the carnage of Christian activity, but to stand up for your brothers and sisters, to pray for them. In order to pray, we ask you to get a newsletter. Pray with understanding through that newsletter. We have a Zoom prayer meeting on tonight, actually, 8 p.m. if you want to join. See us afterwards and I'll give you the link. But I'll just finish with this. Pray for our persecuted family. Learn more. Pray. Persecution.co.nz will take you to it. We've also got the understanding that we're using social media as much as we can. Remember, we are one body. So Hebrews 13:3, and so finish with this, of course. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. So remember the persecuted, dear brothers and sisters. Please pray. Let us pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity of coming together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to belong to a family, your family. We thank you too, Lord, for the courage of our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. For those that we've seen today and for those many others that come across our mind, we just pray, Father, that you would lift them up, comfort them, strengthen their families. We thank you, Father, for the work you've done out of this church and to this community. May we be courageous in our witness and our stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.